Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a big season for the Two-Tone Blue.
We're going to let the past do the talking.
It's time to break it all down with Chase McCabe and ESPN's Teron Davenport. This is Chase and TD.
It's time to go eat, baby.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app all around the world. How's it going? Chase McCabe alongside ESPN's Teron Davenport, Calvin Smith on the ones and twos, as we get you set for the Tennessee Titans, sitting at 4-5, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Teron coming off a loss to the Carolina Panthers on the road, 30-20, and a lot to dissect from that one as Ryan Tannehill throws for 331 yards but has two picks. The offense, again, looks very inconsistent. And for some reason, against one of the worst rushing defenses in the league, the Titans decided we're going to run Derrick Henry only 13 times. So how's it going?
I am doing just fine. Fortunately, I don't have a horse in the race, but it definitely is frustrating to watch what they put out last week. And I tell you, the mention of 13 carries against a team that's given up almost 1.5 football fields worth of rushing yards per game is just mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling is a nice way to put it.
Yeah, and, you know, two carries in the first half, not really understanding that one. I will give them this. They said that there were some things that they saw that would allow them to run Deion Lewis. It was two unfavorable situations, and they found success, right? He gained 15 yards on a 1st and 20 or 1st and 25 and 7 yards on a 1st and 15. But, man, oh, man, I just don't see why you wouldn't give. Like, you have a Ford F-150 sitting there in the driveway. It's snowing. Dry that thing in the snow.
Yeah.
I don't get it, man. Henry definitely should have got more carries. We know that.
This is the thing, because you just said something that has piqued my interest, and that is they say that, well, we saw something that we felt like would allow Deion Lewis. Here's the problem. Whenever I hear them say they've seen something, I don't trust them because I don't think they know what they see. I am at that point, and you can talk me off the ledge, because that's what you – doing this show for the months that we've been doing it now, you know that I get that way sometimes. But I hear this week the question is asked in the press conference, what is the identity of your offense? And Vrabel gives the coach speak answer of, we want to be tough. We want to take advantage of mistakes. We want to, you know, run the football and yada, 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 yada. And as I dissect that answer, I go, he doesn't know. He doesn't have an answer, which is fine. If that's the answer, that's the answer. That they're still trying to figure it out. They just changed quarterbacks. I get it. But I just – 13 carries by a horse of a running back is just unreal.
And see, here's the thing. I asked that question on Monday, and I built – it was a two-part question. I don't usually do these two-part question things, but I did it this time because I said, what is the identity of the offense that you want to establish, and where is 22 in your effort to establish it?
Yeah.
And he admitted that they should have given him more touches. He admitted that they want to give him more touches. So, I mean, I identified the problem. But here's the thing, man. The bottom line, your most reliable part of the only reliable part of your offense is 22 running the football, right? You're a team going into that week who had been shut out in the first half three times. I just, for the life of me, and he had a carry for 13 yards that was called back due to a penalty. I just, for the, that was on the other side of the field. So it didn't have, or the line. So it didn't have anything to do with that run that he had. I just, for the life of me, don't understand why you don't utilize what it is you have. Now, slow starts, right? This is something we've seen it, right? I mean, there's so many slow starts. Even in some of the games that they've won, the Cleveland game, slow start. I give them a mulligan there because it's the season opener. But if you look at it, The Titans are 21st in the league, averaging 3.8 points per first quarter. 21st in the league. That has to be fixed. When you look at the first half, right, they're 27th in the league, averaging in the collective first half, 7.8 points in the first half. Here's something that's really interesting. For the people who will live and die with Marcus Mariota, the last three games in the first quarter or first half, this team is scoring 9 points per game. So it has increased, but still collectively at 7.8. Can't start slowly like that, especially this week against Kansas City. The Chiefs are number one in the league in first half scoring.
They're a buzzsaw.
17.9 points.
And by the way, Mahomes is going to play.
Patty Mac is back.
Yeah. Or Mahomes, as the State Farm commercial calls him.
Yeah.
He's going to play. So let me ask you this, because, you know, I like talking X's and O's with you because you get it and you have a good way of explaining it. It's always understood that in a football game, the first, let's say, 10 to 15 plays maybe are scripted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And generally, like, you will see the scripted plays that are based upon what they've seen in film and what they think is going to work. So is it that there's something wrong with the script and this team just adjusts better and that's why they're able to get going? Or what is it that you think is causing the slow starts?
I think it's a combination of the two. It might be that they're not getting away from that script early enough. And it's interesting because I asked Coach Smith, Coach Art, about the script. And that's something that he mentioned, how, you know, yeah, you could have a script, but sometimes you get away from it because you're in a first and 20 or what have you. I think it's a combination of those things, because what you will see is later in the game, especially fourth quarter, you know, Derrick Henry, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. I want to get specifically into that because that applies this week greatly.
Sure.
But it's just almost like, I don't know, man, because even like Coach Vrabel actually said it. He said that they were getting a few times they got looks that they weren't really expecting. But it's a look that, because it's a copycat league, right? Mm-hmm. I asked Vrabel about it specifically. He talked about the bear front, which when you have a bear front, that means you're covering up all of, there's a defensive alignment over top of every one of the linemen. You're covering them up. That's the phrase that you use. So Tampa, they used bear front. Now, I will say there were a few games where I saw Tampa using that bear front before facing the Titans, but the Panthers used it too. And it wasn't necessarily something they were expecting, but it's something they saw. So you have to adjust from that. I mean, there are things you could do, you know, to work against the bear front. You know, one of the things that I like that teams do is a pin and pull, right? So you'll have the tackle crash down, the offensive tackle crash down on the defensive tackle, and then you have what they'll do is the tackle will crash down on the end, and that guard will literally pull. And then in this case for the Titans, they always have the tight end back there. So Michael Pruitt would also lead the way, and that's a way to do what? Get Derrick Henry in the alley. Actually, NFL matchup, they had a really good breakdown. And, folks, if you are not watching that show, I encourage you to tune in.
Yeah, I like that.
It comes on ungodly hours, but – you know, God bless whoever made DVR. If you have the ESPN Plus app, yeah, I'm plugging it. Yes.
Yeah.
With no shame. If you have that app, definitely make sure that you watch it on that, because there's a breakdown this week, and they showed how you could get Derrick Henry in the alley, and he does some things when he gets in the alley, gets to that perimeter. So that's an example of just like you see something. Okay, you know what? I see they're using the bear front. Let's check. Let's make sure we check into this. And that's what they have to do better. Adjusting instantly as opposed to waiting to see it on the touchpad and adjusting.
And that's where I wonder, you know, just about the inexperience of Arthur Smith as a play caller and Vrabel only in his second year as the head coach, of just knowing when to adjust and getting away from that script. And those are things that we've seen throughout the course of the season, especially with some of the play calling, where you kind of go, what are you doing? Like, what's going on here? Because, and I get it. They study things and look at film, and they see different things that we don't, and there's matchups that they like, but it just hasn't worked the way that they hoped.
Yeah, without a doubt, and that's really the problem, right? Yeah. I mean, Frank
Wright.
And
I don't really think it's the personnel. I think they got the personnel.
Yeah, and, you know, Frank Wright, he would always repeat it. I repeat it, what Mike Tyson would always say. Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. So you have that script and you want that use that script, then you get socked in the face. You got to make some adjustments, you know, and that's what they have to continue to do a little bit better.
The defense, you know, we know what this defense is, but now they're battling some key injuries. Malcolm Butler is out for the season on IR, and they were starting to creep back into the game, make it interesting, and McCaffrey does what McCaffrey does.
Yeah.
58-yard run. That's a backbreaker.
I tell you, man, we touched on it going into that game. McCaffrey is one of those guys you have to be gap sound. If you leave one gap open, he's going to slingshot right through. And that dude gets to the open. Adoree Jackson's a pretty fast guy. You know what I mean? But he ran him down, kind of took a little ride at the end of that run. Yeah. You know what I mean? Panthers, what do you call it? Their social media team, they made a pretty funny thing with that. But that's just an example. Like, you have to be gap sound. And this was one of the situations where they weren't. And once again, you had a back-breaking late play. And I can't knock the defense, though, because for all the deficiencies this offense had, that game was still within reach. I mean, think about this team. What was it, 17-0 in the first half? 17-0?
Yeah.
And that offense had 76 yards of total offense.
And then
they still managed to keep them in the game.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can only push and push and push so much. Eventually it's going to give, and that's what happened on that.
Well, run. And we talked to Keith Bullock on the Midday Show this week, and Keith was like, I love this defense. The Titans have a really good defense.
Yep.
Here's the problem. When the offense doesn't help them out,
exactly.
I mean, they're going to wear down. That's a part of it. And now you're in week 10, injuries start happening. I mean, Jayon Brown, Jarrell Casey out this week.
Yeah.
They will not play.
Yeah.
We know Malcolm Butler, as we said, on IR. So they have key pieces that are falling. That always happens over the course of a 16-game season in the NFL. The offense has to do their part to help bail them out. And, oh, by the way, the offense, once again, without Delanie Walker and Corey Davis, is doubtful for this week's matchup against the Chiefs. So going to be tough going, but we'll see, and we'll break it down for you here on Chase and TD. When we come back, we will get the Chiefs angle with ESPN Chiefs reporter Adam, is it Teicher?
I think that's the pronunciation. You know what?
We'll double check.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, we'll double check. Adam Teicher from ESPN joins us next. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN, Calvin Smith behind the glass. We say hello to Adam Teicher from ESPN. He covers the Chiefs for them. Adam, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well. We're ready for this game on Sunday, and it looks like, according to head coach Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs will have their quarterback back under center. Patrick Mahomes cleared. Looks like he's going to be good to go. How close to 100%, though, is he going to be?
Yeah, that's the thing. We're all sort of wondering here is, how long it's going to take him, whether there's going to be any rust to scrape off, how long it'll take him to do that, if he does need to do that, and how effective he can be. I mean, can he do the things that he needs to do to play well? He seems to think he can. Of course, it was probably everybody in history probably, coming back from an injury like this probably thought that. So he doesn't have any experience in this area. So, we'll see. But, given his track record, it's probably wise to expect the best.
What does it say, though, about the rest of this team when you look at through his absence? I mean, they still looked pretty good with Matt Moore at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it is, a tribute to what, everything else they've got going on. Andy Reid has done a nice job of squeezing some really good quarterback play over the years out of backup quarterbacks. And, you know, this was another example of that. But, you know, the Chiefs have a lot going on around him, you know, in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and some other guys. I mean, there's a lot there. So, you know, it is, you know, it speaks to both of those things. But, you know, Matt Moore also played pretty well, too. He played better than the Chiefs had a right to expect. So, you know, there was a lot of factors that went into how the Chiefs did offensively while Mahomes was out.
What's up, Adam? It's Teron. I wanted to ask you about the OC, Eric Bieniemy. We've seen in the past, especially like with Doug Peterson, he got some of the play calling duties in the second half. Is that something that's happening for Bieniemy?
As far as play calling?
Yes, sir.
No, Andy Reid's still doing that, but Bieniemy, I think, could do it. I just know that Andy Reid likes doing that and feels he's pretty good at it. So, that part of it, he's still doing. But Bieniemy could do it. I feel like the Chiefs could really do it without missing a beat if he tried doing that.
And the other thing is Mike Kafka. How are the guys, like how the quarterbacks, where is he basically in the whole scheme of things as far as putting plays together? How what kind of role is he playing?
Yeah, he's part of the whole deal. I mean, you know, Andy Reid's the guy designing all these things, but there's input from Bieniemy and Kafka as well, and you know, the offensive line coach. I mean, everybody kind of has input into it. So, Kafka's just the Chiefs really brought him on when Pat Mahomes was a rookie. He became kind of an offensive assistant, and the Chiefs brought him on to kind of be Pat Mahomes' personal tutor and did a great job. So when Matt Nagy left at the end of the year as quarterback's coach, they bumped him up and gave him a promotion because they felt that comfortable with him. So he is a big part of what the Chiefs have going on.
Adam, what is it that, and I know this is a simple question, that makes Travis Kelce just maybe the best tight end in the league? Just, and he's been able to do it year in and year out since he got there. It seems like he doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, a tough matchup. He, just big. He's 260 pounds, but he runs so well. That's a tough thing. You know, safeties, linebackers have trouble running with him. Safeties have trouble muscling with him. So, he's a pretty tough guy to without doubling him, he's going to be a problem for teams. So, teams have to pick and choose how they're going to cover him, cover Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's been a problem for a lot of teams.
How do the Chiefs view Derrick Henry? Because we know that the Chiefs are low ranking when it comes to rush defense. Derrick Henry, one of the better backs that they're going to go up against. We saw what he did against a really good rushing defense in Tampa Bay. So how have they game planned for Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I don't know what the game plan is, but they certainly remember Derrick Henry. I mean, he ran for, 150-some in the playoff game a couple years ago, so they remember him. Not a lot of guys around from that game for the Chiefs defensively, but, they're certainly aware. And, the Chiefs have played, they were horrible in their rush defense earlier in the year, but seem to have made significant gains. You know, they played the Vikings last week. Dalvin Cook is the NFL's leading rusher, held him to less than 4 yards a carry, yeah. 71 yards on 21 carries. So they feel pretty good about where they are defensively of late. The numbers overall don't look very good, but the Chiefs have played better run defense the last couple weeks. So they feel like they've figured things out lately.
A big part of that run defense and just defense overall is Tyrann Mathieu. Now, you're looking at a couple of new safeties, Mathieu, and then you have the rookie, Juan Thornhill. How has Mathieu just come in and been a leader of that defense?
Yeah, he kind of came in right away and had no problem being the new guy. And everybody was following him, and he was sort of been the voice of that defense. And, you know, this is a smaller thing, but maybe it gives you a little picture. He's the kind of guy, he's the guy who breaks the Chiefs down. They gather around him at the end of pregame warmups, and he's the guy who's given the little speech before they all head into the locker room for the last time. And, you know, that's a responsibility you usually see from a guy who's been around for a little while, but he just sort of picked it up right away. So he has been kind of the guy who's been the sort of leader of that defense. There's really no question who it is. It's Matthew for sure.
Now, I've watched about three and a half, four games. And one of the things that stood out to me was just different ways, whereas it seemed like they let him freelance. They set him up to just kind of roam the middle of the field in a couple of those games that I watched. But you've seen every game. Is it standing out to you, like, as far as them doing things just to kind of take advantage of his playmaking ability?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, they feel pretty good about their free safety, Juan Thornhill. He's a rookie. They feel pretty good that he can handle that back end a lot of times by himself. So they'll, they'll blitz Matthew. They'll do a lot of different things with him, and it's kind of interesting to see where he pops up from play to play because, the Chiefs do a lot of things with him, and he's playing pretty well, and Thornhill's playing well too. You know, the Chiefs last year had trouble in pass coverage, but been pretty good this year. Big reason why is the play of their safeties. Those two guys are really helping out in the back end.
What have you seen about from Steve Spagnuolo overall since reuniting with Andy Reid? I know they spent a lot of time together in Philadelphia, but Steve Spagnuolo taking over this year as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot new, and it figured that the Chiefs were going to have a little trouble defensively early in the year. There was so much new. You know, they turned over their defensive coaching staff. Everybody's new. And, the new coordinator and a new base system and a bunch of new players. There's eight guys on that defense who are playing significant roles who weren't with the Chiefs last year. So there was a lot new, and you could kind of tell in camp and the preseason that they were going to have trouble fitting everything together right away, and that's the way it worked out. But you sort of thought if they were going to be any good, they were going to have to make gains during the season, and maybe that's what we're seeing here the last few weeks. They have played better the last 3 weeks, and I'm interested to see now how they hold up against the Titans on Sunday.
Adam, I've talked to a few people from Kansas City this week, and I've asked everybody this question, so I'll do the same to you. As I look at the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid, I kind of think of that as the quarterback rehabilitation program. And with Marcus Mariota most likely moving on from the Tennessee Titans, do you feel that the Chiefs and Andy Reid would be a good fit for him to back up Pat Mahomes and try and revive his career?
I think Andy Reid would be a good fit for anybody. I mean, his track record is pretty good in that regard. I mean, I remember when Nick Foles came to Kansas City, his season with the Chiefs is mostly forgotten because he didn't play much that year. But, he was ready to quit football.
Exactly.
I mean, he literally called Andy Reid to tell him he was quitting football and that just to thank him for everything. And Reid got back to him and said, hey, listen, don't, before you hang it up, come play for us. I just talked to Nick Foles a lot about that season and how that really rehabbed his career. So he's done that with other guys as well. So, I think it would be great for Mariota to come here. I'm not predicting it's going to happen because the Chiefs have a quarterback, but I think it would be a great place for him for sure.
Adam Teicher, he covers the Chiefs for ESPN. Hey, we appreciate the time.
Hey, anytime, guys.
Thanks, Adam. Take care, man. Safe travels,
anytime,
too.
All right. Yeah.
So when we come back, as you just heard, Patrick Mahomes is back in the lineup. We will break that down and how the Titans prepare for him defensively. We'll do that next. Chase and TD, ESPN, 1025 The Game. Little GNR bringing us back.
That's right.
Seen them a couple times in concert. Really good show.
Yeah.
Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport, Chase and TD, Calvin Smith behind the glass. And Patrick Mahomes will return to the lineup for the Chiefs at quarterback against the Titans on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And look, as we were talking about with Adam Teicher, the offense, albeit changed, with Matt Moore, but they still look pretty good because they got weapons to use. So even if Pat Mahomes is not at 100%, which he won't be, I think having Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce at his disposal, that's going to help.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you mix in Williams, the running back, McCoy, yeah. I mean, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, and I forget Shady's there now.
Right? Yeah, and I mean, it's a different, like, it's not the Slim Shady it used to be, but it's still, you know, Shady.
But Andy Reid knows him.
He has a little wiggle to him, and he has a good amount of receptions, and they're doing some things to get him the ball in space. But it's just, when you have Pat Mahomes back, you know, a guy, as you mentioned, through seven games has one interception. I mean, this is a dude that when he's at quarterback, there isn't a blade of grass that can be left undefended, uncovered, because he's someone that he'll go across his body, throwing the ball to the, you know, opposite side of the field, no look. There's so many things that he could do. And then when it comes to the cannon, you know, he has a rocket launcher attached to his shoulders. And then on top of that, the precision with the passing, the feel in the pocket. Oh, and by the way, he could extend plays. How many times have you seen him do that baseball turn, reverse out of the pocket, run, and then you see him point, and you see the little road runner, meet, turn it upfield. The next thing you know, it's a 70-yard play. And the defense is just like, what the heck?
Right.
You know, and that's the thing with him.
And what concerns me with what you just said is Malcolm Butler is not available. He's out for the season. Mm-hmm. LaShawn Sims, I mean, you know that Steve Spagnuolo is going to try and exploit LaShawn Sims because you pull up the tape and see what Mike Evans did to him. Tyreek Hill probably going to try and do the same thing. Now, you still got Logan Ryan. You still got Adoree Jackson. That not all is lost. It's still a very good secondary. But I do worry about some of the matchups with LaShawn Sims.
Well, I think this is a week where man defense is pretty much something you want to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And here's the thing. With a quarterback like Mahomes, you tend to want to avoid man defense anyway because he can tuck it and run. And man defense backs to the quarterback, automatically has a head start. We could get into that. But I don't think it's going to apply as much this week because he's still working his way back. Right, I think he's going to be more in the pocket, movement within the pocket. You're not going to see him run too much. But really with zone, a lot of zone defense, and here's the thing, and Dean Pease touched on this a couple weeks ago. Zone defense, really, I mean, it turns into man. Once a receiver enters your zone, that's your guy. You know what I mean? So you stick with him. That's a problem, right? If they're in quarters or cover three and Sims is the guy who's in charge of sticking with Tyreek Hill. But one of the things with Kevin Byard, you know, he's someone that has a good ability to come off the post, right, and be deepest of the deep, and that's something that Byard and I talked about this week. You have to just get back when Tyreek Hill is running. And Sammy Watkins is fast too. And then the thing that's just crazy about it is when you're worried about the road runner and you have to get back, you got a couple things working in the middle of the field. Sammy Watkins could work the middle of the field. Travis Kelce, I want to get into him a little bit, but he's someone else. Like, he's a specialist working the middle of the field. So, me personally, like I was thinking about this at the press conference when Dean Pease was speaking, and I was just like, man, you know what? If that was me, I'm not sleeping. You know what I mean? Trying to prepare for this team.
I know.
But Dean Pease actually had a different outlook. And you could tell, you know, he's an OG at this thing. And here's what Dean Pease had to say when I asked him about losing sleep preparing for this Chiefs offense.
It reminds me of going out in the backyard and playing when you were a kid. And you get some guy out there who just can throw it all over the lot, and you never know what's going to happen. And he's an exciting, dynamic player. I mean, that guy's a heck of a quarterback. He's, you know, the thing that I look and watch him even before we were really kind of preparing for him, and you just kind of watched them when they played somebody else's, you know, they look like a group that's having fun on offense. You know, they just go out and they can play. I see number 10 going in motion and skipping. And, I mean, it's like, hey, we're just out here. We're having fun. We're playing football and doing what we want to do. And it's kind of, you know, hey, it's actually fun preparing for him. It is. It's a big challenge. And sometimes the more the challenge, the more excited you get as a coach to prepare for things like that. And especially, so, you know, they got a lot of weapons. I mean, a lot. And they are a very fast football team. So, but it's fun getting ready for them. It really is.
Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease on getting ready for the Chiefs. And he said something that I kind of like to hear. You look at the Chiefs offense, and they're having fun. You can tell. You can just tell they're having fun playing football. I look at the Titans defense, and I feel like they're having fun.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I'm waiting for the offense to find that and to find that gear where it looks like you can tell that they're having fun.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not even going to touch on that.
Yeah, well.
You know what I'm saying? This Chiefs offense, though, it's exciting to watch. And the thing that I really like about them is they do different things. Andy Reid has always done a good job of packaging plays for different players. Mm-hmm. Now, when he was in Philly, he didn't have a bunch of, you know, playmakers at receiver, but he managed to.
And Deshaun.
I'm talking about pre-Deshaun days, because, I mean, even he had T.O. too, that matter. But I'm talking about when he had Charles Johnson.
Right.
James Thrash, Todd Pinkston. You know, I'm talking about these guys. You know what I mean?
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
So, but he still managed to find ways to generate offense. And that's, now that he has these weapons, it's almost stupid what is happening with a guy that is so creative and then with so many weapons. And for me, Travis Kelce has been the one. And Andy Reid has always been good with tight ends. Back in the day, you had Chad Lewis, and number 89. The dude didn't have any special ability. He just had heart, and he could catch the football. And this dude was a Pro Bowler. Yeah. You got Travis Kelce. Adam Teicher mentioned Kelce being 260 pounds and big and able to body up. But here's the other thing. The dude could dance.
Yeah.
And when you could dance, you could run good routes. You show me a receiver that runs good routes, I guarantee you he could dance. It's just the way it is. So when you look at Kelce, they use him in so many different ways. Like, you'll see him isolated on the backside of a trips formation, right? They'll have trips right, Kelce lined up on the opposite side. Over top of the numbers is an X. One of those guys in that trips formation, that trips is who? Tyreek Hill. Guess where all the attention's going? So now it's just Kelce and whoever, air and opportunity.
Yeah.
He's running a slant. He's running a stick route. There's other times where they'll run that stick route, and they'll have him on the backside of that trips once again, but just flex about 2 yards from the tackle. All that air and opportunity to run the out, run the stick routes, run the whatever you want. There are a lot of things that they do to get him isolated and catch the football, and they take advantage of it. I mean, you'll even see times where Tyreek Hill will go in motion. Like, it'll be twins. It'll be Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill goes in motion. The whole defense goes to that side, and then you just got backside wide open for Kelce. Sometimes they'll even do it with him in line. Tyreek Hill goes in motion, little slip screen to the tight end, and next thing you know, it's a big play.
Travis Kelce is the perfect example of just how much the tight end position in the NFL has changed. And that you have a big 260-pound dude that you think, okay, he's a blocking tight end, he's going to be that extra lineman. But no, he's got the hands, he's got the legs, he's just got the skill to be a catching tight end. And you see a lot of those across the league. I mean, Delanie Walker is not as big as him, but he's that type of skills, has that type of skill set. Zach Ertz has been that in the past.
Zach Ertz is nice, man.
Yeah, he is.
He's probably the only dude I could think of that can't dance but can run good routes.
How do you know he can't dance?
All right, listen, I've been in that Eagle.
You know. But it just shows you how much that position has changed over the years, and it's basically another receiver now, plus a lineman, like all, you know, rolled into one.
That's an excellent point, because I asked Arthur Smith about Jonnu Smith, and he mentioned, he was like, the tight end position is a truly underrated position, because you have these guys who you're asking to go against these big linemen and block them, but then at the same time you're asking them to run routes like these athletic wide receivers. it's a tough position, and it is underappreciated. So I'm glad you mentioned that because that's the truth.
And you bring up Jonnu Smith. He came on the show this week, and you just Jonnu. I love Jonnu, and it was a fun interview. You know, just. And Darren asked him the question about the tight end position and Travis Kelce coming to town. Who's somebody that you kind of look at to try and model your game? And he goes, he's like, bruh, he's in the locker room with me.
Yeah, that's
like,
right. That's right.
Like, he's here. You know,
that's
I get to watch Delanie Walker. And you can tell how much Delanie has mentored Jonnu over the course of the last 3 years and just how Jonnu Smith's game. Because we remember there was a time where he couldn't catch a cold and he looked like a rookie. And it's like, what is this? And then he's just gotten better and better and better. And now, with Tannehill, because of the chemistry that they've developed, you see he's becoming, you know, a go-to guy on this team.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, repetition breeds confidence. Confidence breeds results.
Right.
And that's one of the things I remember seeing about Jonnu Smith. Even though he wasn't able to go out there and practice, he and A.J. Brown, they were on that jugs machine. You know what I mean? And that confidence, catching the football – different angles and things like that, that allowed him to become a better player. And then in addition to that, even now that he's healthy and you have the results coming, I mean, Fridays after practice, where on the field pressing with a pressure with Coach Vrabel, you still hear the
jugs machine.
Because he's on that jugs machine.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something that you have to appreciate, a player putting in the work to get better.
Speaking of putting in the work, the Titans need to work one guy a lot on Sunday. We will get into that when we come back. It's Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. And a running back from Alabama, number 22, Derrick Henry. Perfect. Welcome back in, Chase and TD. You're ready, aren't you? You just want to flip this table over?
Man, I want to run through the wall like Roger Rabbit.
Welcome in, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport. And it was the perfect setup because I feel like if I was a PA announcer and I hear that song, I'm getting into it as I introduce the guy that needs the football on Sunday, Derrick Henry.
No doubt about it. He needs the football. It's just, you just got to keep feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. It's something I remember back in school, man. We had one of our coaches, he would say, you know, all right, guys, come on. We just got to keep loading and loading and loading and loading the wagon. And that's what you have to do when you have a guy like Derrick Henry. I know Adam Teicher said that over the last couple of weeks, this run defense has been better, and he is correct.
Yep.
Especially last week against the Vikings, they did their thing. But I think really, when you look at this Chiefs offense, right? When you look at the Titans offense, when you look at the Chiefs defense, everything matches up for more and more and more and more carries for Derrick Henry. And the thing is, before we get into Henry, I want to just look at some things as far as the blueprint to play a team. I mean, it dates back to 1990 when Bill Belichick and the Giants, as the defensive coordinator, played the Bills, right? And it was all about keep away. That's what you have to do. The Colts game, it was 19-13. They won that game. Frank Reich ran the ball 36 times, 35 with the running back, another time with Zach Pascal. He had him on the end of the round, 36 times.
Yeah.
You look at that.
And they won the game.
Listen, they went to – I'm laughing about it because it's crazy. They started the four-minute offense with 8 minutes left in the daggone third quarter.
Yeah.
And they just kept loading the wagon, man, loading the wagon. They went shoe to shoe. You saw a tackle eligible, two tight ends on one side, and they ran right, went for it twice on fourth down. They just said, you know what? This is what we're going to do. We have a six-point lead, or at the time, a three-point lead. We're going to have our linemen put their shoes together, and we're going to proceed to run the football down your throat. And guess what?
They
You're
did.
Not going to be able to do anything about it. And that's what they did.
Yeah. Marlon Mack.
They took up a good 6 minutes. Actually, seven minutes, 20 seconds in the fourth quarter.
Look, I'm with you. That's exactly what they need to do. Calvin, I know how you feel about running the football, but
actually, believe it or not, I think you might agree.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Chiefs haven't been that good against the run this year. And while, again, like, I'm not the guy to come on here and say, like, pound it into the ground, but there is certainly and obviously a right way to use Derrick Henry, and it's when he's in space. And where are the Chiefs most vulnerable this season? I talked about this on Talking with TD. You could find that in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe, wherever you find your podcasts.
Look at that. That's good.
But the Chiefs are the weakest off the ends against defending rush games, meaning, specifically off the right side, they've been particularly weak, meaning if the Titans run behind Jack Conklin, where they've been fairly successful at a few points this season, Derrick Henry has also been very good there, so it's a good matchup.
Yeah, and you have to give him the football.
Yeah.
And I will say this, you go back to that Colts game, the first drive, they ran the ball, they threw the ball, what? See here, look at my numbers, push my glasses back to my face. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, they ran the ball at one point four consecutive times in that first drive. They just stuffed the ball down their throat, and that's what you have to do, because here's what happens. You get a team that's used to scoring points and controlling the tempo of the game. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do? They're going to press.
Yeah.
So now you're going to see Pat Mahomes try to fit the ball in spaces. Well, he does that anyway, but, I mean, you may see him get a little more reckless with the football, trying to make something happen.
Right.
That's what you have to do. And even, you know, when you look at Henry, again, there was a breakdown in the NFL matchup. You need to watch that, because it just showed one of the ways that they get him out in the alley, and that's what you have to do.
Here's the deal. The Dallas Cowboys, who do they have on their team?
Zeke.
Ezekiel Elliott. What's that little motion he likes to do?
That's right.
He likes to eat.
Eating bowl of cereal. Sometimes he does it with two spoons.
Yeah, but what are they really good at?
Running the football.
Running the football.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as I look at this and I go, okay, I'm not a coach, but I can tell you the rush defense is not very good. Derrick Henry, the more you give him the football, the better off he is. When the Titans give him the ball over 20 times in a game, typically they win. That is what they need to do. The problem is, I don't trust this team to do what they actually need to do. I still am worried that Arthur Smith is going to want to, you know, showcase Tannehill, and they're going to want to try and go through the air and use Derrick Henry in other ways, or put Deion Lewis in and force feed that. They've shown me so much this year that I can't trust them, that I don't, going into this game where it's screaming at them to say, run 22.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get cute, right? And that's my thing, right? Establish what it is that you're good at. Become very good at it, and then work off of it, a la play action, right? Now, the thing is, if this team, and I don't really like to deal with ifs, so what the Titans, let's say it this way, what the Titans need to do is come get a lead. They need to get a lead and protect that, especially going into the fourth quarter, because I know – you know, there's different numbers that may point to Derrick Henry not being so much better as he gets more and more carries. But this is a number that I know is a reason why that four-minute offense should be effective for the Titans if they get into the fourth quarter with a lead. And it is Derrick Henry has more yards since 2017. So we're talking about the full amount of time that Ezekiel Elliott has been in the league. Saquon, full amount of time he's been in the league. Alvin Kamara, whoever. 808 yards rushing in the fourth quarter since 2017. No one has more than Derrick Henry in that situation.
Right there. That's all you need.
Everything points. And yards per carry, you know, if you want to talk that, we could talk that. 4.7 yards per carry. A long of 75 yards and 5 touchdowns, which is – pretty good.
You know, when we have this conversation, the whole offensive game plan, to me, something comes to mind. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. Just keep it simple. That's all you got to do. Keep it simple.
It's not hard, man.
And I think sometimes they try to get too cute. They try to get too complicated. They're trying to feature everybody. I get it. You have a ton of tools that you can use. You have a ton of weapons that you can use on offense. But you know what? You don't have to use them all in every game.
You don't.
There's no law that says, well, you know, A.J. Brown, he's got to get three catches. Derrick Henry, he's got to get his. Deion Lewis. Whatever's working is what they need to do. And that's where I struggle with this coaching staff of trusting that they're going to actually do that.
Yeah, and it's a shame that's the case. But, I mean, you know, end of the day, as a coach, you have mm-hmm. to, again, figure out what it is you do well and get even better on it, because that's going to allow everything else to fall in line. One other thing that I do want to say, you want to get more carries for Derrick Henry, but I'm telling you, man, 45, he's not a bad player.
Yeah, Rod Smith.
Yes. He is not
Who used to play where?
Dallas.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying he's not a bad – and I talked to him a little bit today in the locker room, and he said that he's getting a lot more of the offense down. Initially, I remember watching practice. He and Coach Tony Dews, they had to go over some things just as far as the depth and the steps in order to, you know, properly execute the runs that they want to run. But he has some ability.
Yeah.
And he run.
And that's why they signed him, because we talked about it the week that they brought him in.
He runs with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just another way. And he's a big guy. That's another way that you could get into that form. I'm telling you, they need to get to that 4-minute offense quickly, find some success running the football. And if they could do that, that's a team that they have a chance.
I agree. I agree. I just – and look, if Deion Lewis has a purpose, if there's a place for him, then sure, use him. But I think you need those big backs, Derrick Henry being the biggest and the one you should use the most, and that's going to help get this offense going. Speaking of the offense, we'll stay on that side of the ball with the Titans and focus more on the quarterback and his progression through his first three starts. We'll do that next. It's Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a big season for the Two-Tone Blue.
We're going to let the pass do the talking.
It's time to break it all down with Chase McCabe and ESPN's Teron Davenport. This is Chase and TD.
It's time to go eat, baby.
On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Hour number two, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. And if you miss anything from tonight's show, all you need to do is rate, subscribe, and review to Talking with TD on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify. It's also on thegamenashville.com. You get that show and this show, two for the price of one, and that price is free. It's even better. Just rate, subscribe, and review.
Buy one, get one free.
BOGO!
That's for me. You want to stay alive? Give us a five.
That was good.
We can keep going now.
That was good. Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN. He covers the Titans for them. Calvin Smith, who will be live on the air 7 a.m. Sunday morning.
7 a.m. Sunday morning with Luke Worsham. It's going to be a fun show.
Oh, nice.
Two young little kids in here doing the radio for a little bit.
Look, I'm going to tell you what.
Hashtag pass the ball.
Pass it, yeah, probably. Analytics, all that stuff. But, dude, I sit in press conferences or we play the press conference. I hear Luke ask a question. I'm like, how old is this kid?
Yeah. Luke, he's very composed, and he's experienced on radio, so it's going to be a good pregame show. It's not going to be like we're some like young kids out here not knowing what we're doing.
No, you guys would be fine.
I have all the faith in the world. And I'll be sleeping, but I'll listen in.
I'll be a little jealous, but not really.
So this Titans offense that we talk so much about, Ryan Tannehill at the quarterback, we've definitely seen improvements. It looks better, but it's still not where it needs to be. What have you seen out of Tannehill through his first three starts, which include two wins but the loss last week to Carolina?
I think Tannehill is actually better in the pocket. I think he's a guy who's able to manipulate the pocket pretty well. He's someone that now is starting to take some shots. I mean, that Panthers game, I give him credit. He took three or four shots.
He did.
Down the field, and that's something that he needed to do. And after the game, he said that it wasn't necessarily in the game plan, but it was something that they have to do going forward. So what I see with that is a little bit of a take charge type of thing, right? Whereas he's saying, okay, we need to do this. That's a message, you know? And when you look at Tannehill and just – because third down, right, that's always – that's the key measuring point of a quarterback. Now, a disclaimer, I'm not saying Tannehill is a top five quarterback. However, when you look at the passer rating in third down, he's number three in the league.
That's saying something.
That's saying something. And when you look at this team and what they've been able to do as far as red zone, right, this Titans offense, they still continue to be on the plus side on the turnover ratio, yeah, which is always a good thing. Granted, Tannehill had a couple interceptions, right? But
which you're going to get when you're throwing deep passes and you're trying to throw it in there.
Exactly. Those two interceptions, you had one bounce off the receiver's hands. Granted, it was a little high, but you want to – get it in better range, but A.J. Brown was able to get hands on it, and A.J. himself will tell you he should have caught that. Then you had another one where, look, man, it's late in the game. You're trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what we were talking about in the other segment when we were talking about keep away and what you want Patrick Mahomes to do. That's exactly what happened there. But when you look at red zone efficiency, I mean, again, you know, they're at 69.6%, right? So they are getting things done as far as scoring touchdowns in the red zone. They're second in the league.
I'd also just like to add about Ryan Tannehill that, according to NoCheckDowns.com, he's been one of the top 10 most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL since week 7. He's been doing
– I believe
that's
that.
Where Marcus Mariota was really struggling at a lot of points this season. The only game he didn't was really against the Falcons, and that's been a huge difference, especially when space confines in the red zone like Teron's talking about.
And just to kind of piggyback off of that, he's going to need to keep that up, especially this week. Because no defense is better at red zone takeaways than the Chiefs. They have 4 takeaways. They lead the NFL. They're tied. I'm not sure exactly who it is they're tied with. But then in addition to that, you talk about effectiveness as a quarterback. The Titans have 5 drives of 85 yards or more. 5 TD drives of 85 yards or more. Now, the Chiefs have 7. So just to kind of give you a measuring point, one other tidbit, though, with the Chiefs, they lead the league in points scored from outside of the red zone. That means they're dropping bombs, but we know that. But that number kind of backs that up. So for me, you know, I think this offense has gotten better under Tannehill. They still have to get even better with him. And I think really, even though he's playing, you're getting better quarterback play from him, it has to revolve around Derrick Henry.
Yep.
You have to give this man touches. And one of the things that you have to look at, last week, they needed a play. And actually, this is a perfect play to highlight just what I'm talking about. Because you saw Tannehill was almost set. The pass rush came off the right side, and he somehow managed to elude that, changed his release angle, and hit Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry was able to get along that sideline and get into the end zone. And that was a key touchdown for him.
Well, and the one thing on this offense, as we alluded to earlier, Corey Davis has the hip injury. He's doubtful, didn't practice this week.
Yeah.
Not looking good for him. And then that's going to put a lot of pressure on somebody like A.J. Brown and Tajae Sharpe.
Right, exactly. That's going to be tough sledding if he doesn't play. And it's interesting because one of the shots that Tannehill took, it seemed like that was when Corey Davis had the tweak. Yesterday it was raining. I can understand him not practicing yesterday. Today it was cold, but he's doubtful, so we'll see what happens. But I think it was that play where he drew the pass interference on James Bradbury where he tweaked his hip. But listen, Bashaud Breeland, he's a long corner. He likes to press. Physical corner. I want to see A.J. Brown going against something like that. Tre'Varius Ward, I mean, he's an MTSU product. He was there for what? 2 years, I believe it was, a year and a half, whatever it may be, because he transferred from a JUCO. Mm-hmm. He's another one. They like to press. So my thing is this. You got to be able to get off the line, win immediately in your route. Why? because this is an offensive line. Now, Ben, you know, we'll see what happens, but this is an offensive line that has gotten worse as far as pass block win rate since Tannehill has taken over. It is what it is. So guys are not winning their pass blocks. They're not holding their pass block 2.5 seconds or more as often as they did before Tannehill became quarterback. You got press coverage. You know, as a quarterback, you look over and you see your receiver playing games at the line of scrimmage with the DB, you automatically come off that read immediately. As a receiver, you know, okay, I have to win immediately because if my quarterback sees me getting tangled up at the line, he's coming off,
yeah,
and he's not likely going to be able to come. I'm still going to run my route as hard as I can, but he's not likely going to be able to make it back to me. So
right,
the importance of winning early is all the more, especially, you know, when you're going against press and when you have a line that's doing what they're doing.
So Ben Jones is back, right? And he's good to go. He's out of the protocol. So that's going to help with the offensive line. But it is interesting that you bring that up about their stats kind of going down from that, you know, with Ryan Tannehill in. Makes me concerned about, you know, some things moving forward with them. But I think with Corey Davis out, you are going to see Tajay Sharpe get used more, Twinkle Toes. Adam Humphries, it opens up things for him. And who else is it they have at receiver now that Calvin is excited about? I mean, you got to work him in too, Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, and here's the thing. He's someone I wouldn't necessarily use, like have him lining up on the line, right? I would have him lining up off because I want to allow him to get into his route quickly and get that speed going quickly because he is a very fast guy. They need to work more trips, you know what I mean? Whether it be tight end trips or just pure trips, they need to work that. That's something that I know they've done in the past. They just have to find ways to
use Firkser, use Michael Firkser. Pruitt.
And the thing is with trips, if you go zero splits, and when I say zero splits, I'm talking about like very – it's just basically like a close alignment, right? You have one on the ball, and then you have the other two very close. It's like bunch. That naturally makes DBs back up. So now you have opportunities to better exploit a guy like a Rashard Breeland, a guy like a Travarius Ward who likes to press.
He is Teron Davenport of ESPN. I'm Chase McCabe. Let's quickly, before we go to break, let's get in Chris. Chris wants to weigh in. Chris, welcome into Chase and TD.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing this evening?
What's doing up, well, man?
Yeah, I got to holler at my good friend, Mr. Teron Davenport. Your bow tie game, always on swag. I love it.
I appreciate it. Bow tie swag is what we call it.
That is exactly what we call it. But I got to put in some things on this game, Blue Enforcer style, tell you the truth, bringing it to you. Now, I said this, with this particular game and on the offense, you've alluded to it before, and as Jared would say, about to eat big time. He needs to have the big, big dinner in this game. He's got to eat some more. I'm talking at least 20-some carries in the game. We got to control time of possession because you got to just try to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field as much as you possibly can.
Exactly.
You have got to be able to do that.
Exactly. And, I mean, that's what we touched on earlier. You're 100% right. It's all about keep away, and they have to not allow that offense to stay on the field, because if they do, they could do some crazy things, man.
So the receivers, and you alluded to this earlier, just the Titans receivers going up against the secondary of the Chiefs. We'll get into that a little bit more next when we come back. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The dulcet tones of Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses, bringing us back. Chase and TD, Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Calvin Smith behind the glass. So you kind of alluded to it with the matchup between the Titans receivers and the secondary, but I look at the Chiefs defense as a whole, and you know, this was a team that had some holes earlier in the year. Steve Spagnuolo comes in, takes over as the defensive coordinator, obviously familiar with Andy Reid. They'd worked together during Andy's days in Philadelphia. But as the season has progressed, so has this defense. Still have some warts with the rushing attack, but the secondary, I mean, it's something the Titans are definitely going to have to be cognizant of.
Yeah, without a doubt. And we mentioned the two guys on the outside that are pretty good. Here's the other thing. You got a guy in Kendall Fuller who is an outstanding nickel guy, right? So that matchup, when they go man, him going against Adam Humphries, that's one to watch because it's going to be a good battle. And I think as you look at that secondary as a whole, it is solid. I believe they're eighth in the league as far as pass defense is concerned, yards-wise. And it goes back to Tyrann Mathieu, right? And as Adam Tesher said, they trust Juan Thornhill to be back there on the post. That lets Mathieu just range and do the different things. So that secondary is really good. You know, and they even use they bring Sorensen in. And I mentioned how they allow Mathieu to do some different things. I saw a couple times where they had four defensive linemen in the game, right? But the two guys on the outside, they lined up one outside of the tight end, the other on the opposite side outside of the tackle. You had Sorensen drop down, and he lined up just inside of the in between the guard and the center on the right side of the defense, the left side of the offense. At the snap, he crashes down. He draws the center in. And he occupies the guard, and Mathieu just inches forward at the snap and loops inside, and he bowled over the center. Got pressure, forced an incompletion. So you see some creativity there.
How important will the front seven be for Kansas City? Frank Clark is somebody that, you know, they acquired in the offseason, was with the Seattle Seahawks, but he's made a big difference with that defensive front as well.
It's huge. Frank Clark is the guy they brought in, right? They wanted to pay him instead of Dee Ford.
Mm-hmm.
They made the trade. They brought him in, and he's been a part of that defense. They're deep, too. You know, you got Tano Passanio out of Villanova, who is a long, really good. He's a guy that can line up inside. He can line up outside. Colin Saunders, that's one of the things that's pretty interesting, and he was a guest on Talking with TD. He's a really good player. Still a rookie, but he's someone that they use. They drop him back into cover sometimes to clog the passing lanes on the crossers. So it's impressive what they do with all those guys. I mean, you even look at Manny Agba, number 90. He's another guy that they bring in, and they just have a whole bunch of guys. Chris T. Jones.
Yep.
Chris Jones, one of the best tackles in the game. They're stacked.
Hitchens. And the linebackers.
They have a bunch of players, man. They are stacked on defense.
615-737-1025. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in on the Titans. Adam, what's up, man?
Hey, TD, glad to talk to you, man. Chase, how about how I qualified on your show today, man? I've been thinking about that all day.
That was some great luck. He basically he took a guess and it worked.
Hey, man.
God was looking out, man. Like, yeah, because I was having the worst day, man. All right, so you know, I love A.J. Brown. I think he's an awesome player. And Adam Humphries, I think, I think he could really offer, a security blanket to a good quarterback. However, I am going to make a prediction I've never done in 20 years. I'm going to pick the Titans to lose this game. It's not going out on a limb or anything, man. I just don't see how we could win. Even if Derrick Henry runs for 300 yards, Mahomes is going to throw for 400 yards. I don't see how we could possibly win this game, man. So I'm gonna put a score out there to say 31-10, and pretty God, I'm wrong, man. That's all. Like, I mean, I it's sad because I'm a season ticket holder and I've loved them forever. It's been my passion. And dude, I don't see a way right here, man. This season feels bad.
Hey, do you have NFL Game Pass, Adam?
What is that?
Oh, okay. Well, that's something through, man. NFL.com needs to pay me for this.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens with this is subscription based, right? And you could go in and you could watch a full game, and you could see the regular replay, like the TV copy. You could also see all 22. If you get a chance, Watch the All-22. Watch the Chiefs versus the Colts. That is the game that should get you off of the ledge, because it kind of it showed the way you play. Now, granted, other teams have seen it, and it didn't work for them. But that's the one that should give you hope, because it showed. It ended up being a 19-13 game. The Colts won that one, but that one is the one that should give you hope. They managed to run the football, play ball control, and that's the one way I feel this Titans team could beat the Chiefs. Now, do I think they're going to beat the Chiefs? Heck no. But I am saying that's the one way they could.
Well, I appreciate you giving me at least that much to hang on to there, Titty. I just, man, I look at it from a distance, and I'm like, you know, I can make excuses. I could be the Titans, like the one Titans fan in the room, and defend myself. This week, I just feel like my back's against the wall. I'm almost trying to sell my tickets. Like, it's sad, man. It's really sad. So,
nah, still
I appreciate it, boys. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, Adam.
I wanna hit you with something that is a little off what we were talking about, but he mentioned this person, AJ Brown. And you and I, we've glowed about A.J. Brown all season. Calvin, I know you have too. The Yak Monster, the Yak Daddy, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. I see in his rookie year just a ton of things that show me this guy is going to be legit in the NFL for this team. I know Corey Davis is hurt. I know that it's doubtful that he's going to play. But when I play the dangerous game of comparing the two, which you shouldn't do, we talked about this on the midday show this week. I see a lot of just something in A.J. Brown, that dog, however you want to put it. And with Corey Davis, there's times I see it, and there's times I don't. And I also kind of look at it as, you know what, he's just not going to live up to the fifth overall pick. That's just kind of the way it is. I still think he's a good receiver. But what is it that you've seen in a small sample size of those two that I'm seeing right now? If I think A.J. Brown is just starting to – he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the go-to guy, and I still don't know what Corey Davis is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's personality traits. That's really what it is. It's personality traits. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing – and this is no slight on Corey Davis, because I think he's an alpha in his own way, but A.J. Brown is more of an open – alpha, like mm-hmm. The alpha in him is a little more on display. You know, funny story, we're in the locker room, this was earlier this year, right? And the guys, they have this thing where it's Call of Duty now, but before Call of Duty it was FIFA. I mean, that's all they would play.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ was like, man, forget that, we're not going to use this one for FIFA, we're going to play Madden. Just the fact that as a rookie,
yeah,
you know what I mean, it's just that's just something that kind of displays the alpha in him, right? And even just the snakeskin shade suit, the Dolce & Gabbana glasses. I'm not saying as a receiver you have to be flashy. I'm not saying that. But these are just all different things. You know, it costs to be the boss. Saying that, you know, you have a guy standing behind you videoing you catching passes off the jugs machine. He said, oh, man, you're in good hands. I'm on like Allstate.
Yeah.
These are just the things that kind of show the receiver, just the mindset, basically, yeah, in him. Now, granted, Corey Davis, at times, I've seen it from him.
Sure.
You know, I've seen him demand the football, right? I've seen him upset because the ball didn't come his way. When he catches the ball, Corey Davis has a purpose. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to sit here and slight that man, because I still firmly believe he's the most talented receiver in the division. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Here's why I bring this up. Because when talking to Tim Hasselbeck this week from ESPN, he said that basically the evaluation on Corey Davis is incomplete because you haven't been able to finish it because of the quarterback play. And I think there's something to be said for that he's played with Marcus pretty much his entire career. He battled injuries his rookie year. Second year was definitely much better. But then this year, Marcus Mariota has gone through his struggles. He had a quarterback change. So you can't do a full evaluation of Corey Davis in his first 3 years in the league.
Yeah, you can't. And I've said that before. He has been hampered by the scheme. And this is something, it's a question I've asked numerous people, you know, what is it? Are we seeing plays not being called where he's the number one target? Are we seeing not enough of those? Is he not getting open? I don't believe that's the case because I've seen him get open multiple times. Is the quarterback just going away from him? I don't know that that's the case because he and A.J. Brown both have 18 targets since Tannehill has taken over. Jonnu Smith has 15, right? And I think Humphreys is up there too. But the point is, what is it that's holding this man's production back? That's the thing that I'm not understanding. But to get back to A.J. Brown, it just seems like he's doing more with the targets that are coming his way. Now, I don't know if that scheme, whereas they're setting him up to catch that slant after play action, opens that up, catch the slant, and, you know, that's allowing him to utilize what he is equipped to do and get yards after the catch. I mean, there's something.
It's determination. I know he's a second-round pick, and Derek was a fourth-round pick, but I do see a lot of D-Mace in A.J. Brown. There's just that. There's that drive. There's that little bit of, you know, forget you, like watch what I can do, just that competitiveness.
But Corey Davis has a vicious stiff arm.
He does, but I just it doesn't pop out to me like it has with A.J. Brown. Yeah. If that makes any sense at all.
I get it. And I could reason with that. And I just think I wonder here's one thing. I wonder if Corey Davis was the 51st pick and A.J. Brown was the fifth. I wonder if we would look at it differently.
I think that's very fair.
And that's one of the things, because we had Jordan Reed on from the Draft Network, and we talked about Tannehill, we talked about Mariota, and the thing he said was the first-round sticker, right? Mm-hmm. Top five is a big, huge sticker, right? So there's always going to be that extra expectation, and I think that's what we're having. But bottom line is the dude has a bunch of talent and it's not being utilized.
I would just like to quickly add about A.J. Brown and the yards after the catch. Next Gen Stats tracks your plus minus when you gain more yards than expected on your catches. So basically, A.J. Brown is fourth in the NFL gaining more yards than expected after he catches the ball, meaning he's just doing a lot when he gets the ball in his hands. And that's on average, so that's a little bit manipulable to the couple big plays he's had. Mm-hmm. But he's still fourth in the NFL in a burst metric where he's making plays happen when you're not expecting him to.
That's a
good point. And I'll say this, too, about draft, the draft sticker, the fifth overall pick, that's not on the player.
Yeah. I mean,
that's not on the player. That's on the team that decided to take him there.
Exactly. And situation is just not – I said it in the media house the other day. I was like, man, imagine Corey Davis with the Saints.
Yeah.
Imagine him with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Imagine – man.
You said that with us too.
It would be pretty exciting.
The Rams.
It's all about how you use
the Rams, you know. It's situation. That really has a big part in what the success of a draft pick is.
Completely agree. He is Teron Davenport of ESPN. Chase McCabe here with you, Calvin Smith. When we come back, the inactives, the players that we know are going to be out for the Tennessee Titans. We'll discuss that next. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Paradise City, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
That's right.
Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport. We are Chase and TD, Calvin Smith on the ones and twos behind the glass. So the injury report comes out every day, but the one that we really pay attention to comes out on Friday afternoons. And some bad news for the Tennessee Titans. As Jayon Brown, Jarrell Casey on defense, they are out. Corey Davis, as we were just talking about, he is doubtful. Delanie Walker out once again. Now, others listed on the report, Ben Jones with a concussion, full participant in practice. He's cleared the protocol, correct, Teron?
Yes, sir.
So he is good. He is out of the protocol. Harold Landry, full participant. He looks good to go. Chris Milton is somebody that they've been waiting to get back. Was a full participant today. Cam Wake, Jeffrey Simmons, full participants. Roger Saffold with the knee, a limited participant in practice as well.
Yeah, Saffold left during team stretch. He walked in with the trainer. Apparently he came out after individual. He said it was just maintenance, so it's not a huge thing. He walked around the locker room okay, so no issue there. Jeffrey Simmons, we I had something scheduled with him just to talk a little shop, you know, and have that on this show. We weren't able to do that. He got treatment after practice, so I don't think there's any issues with those guys. Corey Davis is the one, though, you know, him being questionable. Jayon Brown, we kind of expected that with the groin. Jarrell Casey, good signs for him. We saw him running, doing sprints, and some of those things with Frank Pirano. So he's obviously out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good sign. Going into the bye week, it shouldn't be an issue having him back when this team opens up. When they come back in week 11, or week 12, they're running together now.
I know. So let's talk about that defensive line. You know, Jeffrey Simmons still kind of working his way in. They're using him, but, you know, he's not to full song yet.
Yeah.
But the D-line, you know, Daquan Jones is somebody that you've been very high on this year. Austin Johnson, Isaiah Mack, part of it too. So what is this D-line going to look like without Casey?
Yeah, it's tough. I would personally like to see Isaiah Mack, Daquan Jones, and Jeffrey Simmons on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that gives you three guys that – and this is no slight to Austin Johnson, but I think it gives you three guys, two outside of Daquan, that can get that quick pressure, you know, and get here's the thing, right? When you look at Pat Mahomes, this is a quarterback who has a knee situation. Right? And when quarterbacks drive the ball down the field, they're stepping into their throw. I'm telling you, if you could get that pressure up the middle, it could interfere with how much they step into the throw. And now that throw could be over. It's overshot. It's off target. So I want to see these guys be able to do that. Daquan Jones, I bring him up as often as I can because – the box score doesn't do what he does on the field. It doesn't do justice. I mean, there are times where you see him lining up in the middle of the formation. They're running outside, and he's going outside and making the tackle. That's effort. That's want to. I think that's impressive. But you ask me what this line looks like, I think it's going to be those three, right, Daquan Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, and a mixture of Austin Johnson as well as Isaiah Mack.
Do you think we see a little bit more of Jeffrey Simmons, or do you have some concerns with the hamstring? You know, maybe they limit him and have him on a pitch count.
Yeah, here's the thing. It was raining yesterday, right? So any guy, even just and especially with Simmons, right, the last thing you want, and I don't know if it was the same hamstring or same leg where he had the knee.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the case. But anytime you have a guy who's already overcoming it, that worked through an injury, you want to be careful. It was raining yesterday. It's easy to lose your footing. And then what? Right? You have to. So I'm not really I wouldn't be overly concerned about Simmons not practicing on Thursday. He was a full go on Friday. I saw him doing some things to loosen the knee up and everything. And, hey, I think he'll be back. Be there out there because he hasn't been gone. His snaps have continually increased. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the 50s as far as snap count is concerned. I mean, he was the high 40s last week. Mm-hmm. And, again, this is a team that's without Jarrell Casey. They need somebody to push that pocket. He wasn't as effective last week, but I want to see him going against these guys this week and see what he could do.
Now let's look at the other side. Let's look at the Kansas City Chiefs and their injuries. Eric Fisher, the tackle, he's out. Alex Okafor, defensive end, he is out. Frank Clark, somebody we talked about earlier, is listed as questionable. Laurent Duvernay Tardif.
Duvernay Tardif.
He is questionable. Kendall Fuller also listed as questionable. So they got some key pieces that are either out or listed as questionable. Frank Clark probably being the most notable from defense.
Yeah, from defense, Frank Clark would be the most. But Okafor is the guy.
Okafor, too.
They use Okafor, you know. But you got some guys behind them. Tano Passanio, as I mentioned. Manuel Agba. You know, these guys are players, you know. And they're both, it's interesting, very similar as far as long arms. They could get you first, so – that's something to take a look at. For me, when I look at the inactives, the main one that pops out for me, or excuse me, the people who are ruled out, is Eric Fisher. Because yeah. Cam Irving is a guy, he was it the Browns that took him? I forget who. But he didn't work somewhere else. He came to Kansas City, and he was a guy who was supposed to play center. That didn't work, and, you know, he's played some guard, tackle. Long story short, he may be good at multiple things, but he's not great at any particular one. He's likely to get the start at left tackle. Hey, you know what? Cam Wake, Sharif Finch, Kamale Correa, you know, Harold Landry, turn it up this week.
Cam
Turn
Wake.
It up. Take advantage.
Cam Wake, the old man, ready to
go.
Yeah,
the old man.
So, and if you missed it earlier, bad news, Patrick Mahomes, he's good to go. He's going to play. He is off the injury, or he's listed, but he's full participant and is good to go. Now, is he 100%? Probably not. But a Patrick Mahomes at 70, 75% can still hurt you in many ways.
It's still troublesome. And he said he was working on the crossbody throws and those different things. So, you know, end of the day, when you have him in there, it's always going to be.
Siri's concerned about it, too.
Yeah, you hear Siri saying sorry. You know what I mean? Listen, you don't have to apologize to me. Apologize to the DBs, not me.
So when we come back, we'll do like we always do in the final segment, the Mac Daddy of the Week and our players to watch on offense and defense for both teams. It is Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Who's the Mac Daddy?
Mac Daddy. Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy.
We're back, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Alongside Teron Davenport, I am Chase McCabe. You can find this fine show on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Just search Talking with TD, which is coming up next. And you can get Talking with TD and Chase and TD on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. That's all you got to do. We are rolling out a new podcast platform across the board that we'll be talking about in the coming weeks. But Talking with TD, a big part of that. So check it out.
We blazed the trail, baby.
Yeah, you did.
Not from Portland, but we're trailblazers.
So the Mac Daddy of the week, and, you know, it's always tough with a game, even though the Titans put up 20 points, Carolina 30, though. I still have to go with the defensive player. And John Robinson, if you're listening, in the words of John Malkovich from Rounders, pay that man his money. Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan is my Mac Daddy. Led the way, 10 total tackles on the week. Continues to be impressive. And now with Malcolm Butler out, I think you see even more of Logan Ryan, who has been an important part of this defense. But Logan Ryan, for me, the Mac Daddy.
Yeah, listen, no pushback for me. And frankly, he's played himself into a position of you absolutely have to. There isn't any, okay, well, should we or shouldn't we? No, you absolutely have to sign him.
Yeah.
Excellent choice. Actually, in my midseason report, our 32 for 32, I started anytime defensive MVP, like my fingers just automatically type KEVINBY. But Logan Ryan, in my opinion, has been just because of the sacks as well as the interceptions.
He's so versatile.
The coverage in general.
He's versatile. And you know what? Because we've talked about this of, well, how much are you going to pay him? Or are you going to pay him the same contract or similar to what he had? No, but I think he takes a hometown discount. I think he wants to stay here. I think that there's a family aspect that they've settled down here.
He's rooted with his off-the-field things, you know.
So I think you have to consider the Nashville factor when negotiating with him. You can get him on like a two-year deal or something, and – I think you can make that work. So.
And it extends beyond the locker room. I mean, beyond the field, into the locker room. You know, so
those guys are important. Now, players that we're going to be paying attention to on both sides of the ball from both teams. Let's start with offense, the Tennessee Titans. I wonder where Teron's going to go with this.
I tell you, a couple years ago, I was at the Georgia Dome. This was more than a couple years ago, like 5 years ago. And every time Michael Turner was about to do his thing, they would play that music. Move. Get out the way. That mystical. And
Ludacris.
Yeah, Ludacris. Excuse me. But that is the music that needs to be played in the huddle every single time the Titans get in the huddle. Derrick Henry, without a doubt, once again, is the guy that has missed 139 yards on the ground. They're giving that up. He's the guy to watch. It revolves around him.
Well, I agree with you, but we can't have the same player, so I'll go something different. But I totally agree. For me, it's A.J. Brown. Mm. With no Corey Davis in the lineup, I think more is going to fall on A.J. Brown. Now, that's, you know, Tajay Sharpe is another one of those. Adam Humphries, everybody's got to be the next man up. But A.J. Brown, as we were talking about, has had such a tremendous rookie year so far. He's got a great opportunity to show that when the ball comes his way, he's going to make a play. So for offense, for the Titans, I am watching A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know for sure that Corey Davis will be out.
He's doubtful,
if he is, oh yeah, without a doubt. And I think even if Corey Davis plays, it's still A.J. Brown because it works hand in hand. What did I say? Establish the run. But guess what happens when you establish the run? That play action is a little more effective. So good one there. Defense from or actually
offense for the Chiefs.
Offense for the Chiefs. Yeah, we have to focus on that. And, you know, give me the road runner. You have to keep him from putting up the deuce sign, and that means keep him out of the end zone. He's a guy that just, even if he doesn't catch a deep pass, just anytime number 10 is just simply on the football field, whether he's going in motion, whether he's running deep, everything, you have to stay aware of where he is. He pretty much dictates so much coverage and attention from the opposing defense. So for me, he's the guy to watch.
And look, we're all going to be watching Patrick Mahomes, so we'll leave him out of this. I mean, he we're going to see what he is. For me, it's the guy that is the reason the Titans defeated the Chiefs in the playoffs a few years ago, because when Travis Kelce went down, that entire game changed. He is a game changer, no matter how you look at it, and it has become a go-to target for Patrick Mahomes. Nobody is surprised by that. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, those are the two that Pat Mahomes relies on.
Quick question, is he the best player, best tight end in the league?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah. I could.
You agree with that, Calvin? I'd say so.
Yeah, I just can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
I think Ertz was in the conversation, but he hasn't had a great year.
Here's the thing, and even last year, my thing that separates Kelce from Ertz is, like, I think Ertz is a better route runner, but Kelce is better yards after catch.
Yeah, and Kelsey's just so versatile. Now for defense for both sides of the both teams, who do you have?
Yeah, deepest of the deep, man. Tyreek Hill is the guy to focus on offense. So you got to stay deepest of the deep, and the guy to do that is Kevin Byard. So for me, he is the one. If for some reason they go man, I would imagine he would be the one that would match up with Kelce. I don't see them going too much man, but I just think that this week he's the key.
For me, it's going to be LaShawn Sims. I want to see how he steps into this role. It's the next man up mentality. That's why you have 53. That's why you have depth. Mm-hmm. And he's been somebody that stuck around on this team through coaching changes, and he's been around for a while. Now he has an opportunity. It was tough a few weeks ago against Mike Evans when Adoree Jackson was out. But, hey, man, this is the time. It's time to step up. So I want to see what LaShawn Sims does.
The man they call Mouse is going to get a chance to be the man. So we'll see what happens there. Defensively on the Texans, former Texan on the Chiefs.
And they used to be the Dallas Texans, so you're kind of right.
Somewhere along the lines. But, yeah, Tyrann Mathieu is the guy. Yeah. They do so many things to really allow him to freelance and make plays, so he's the one for me.
I know he's listed as questionable, but he's a player that I think has made a difference on this Spagnuolo defense for Kansas City. It's Frank Clark. Frank Clark at defensive end, somebody that they're going to have to watch out for with the struggles that the offensive line has had for the Tennessee Titans. I feel like a broken record. I say that every week. But again, that's going to be somebody to look out for. Frank Clark, nice player, nice addition.
Yeah, for sure. You won't get a disagreement from me. Before we pop off, I want to shout out the Titans, though, because they had this is Salute to Service Month, and they had the event there at Nissan Stadium. Some of the veterans, they got to do some flag, and Delaney Walker was there and a few of the other Titans. So I think that's awesome that they're doing that. They are involved in the community. That same day, the Tuesday, I went to Margaret Hill Middle School I forget the role. But anyway, Jayon Brown was there. And every Tuesday, and this is the thing, he has a program called 55 Program, and it goes to different after-school places. It's associated with the YMCA, the YMCA Community After-School Program. And they talk about goals. He gives them five goals. They give him five goals. The organization picks an MVP. They get four tickets to the Titans game.
Oh, that's cool.
Jayon Brown gave four tickets to this week's game. Unfortunately, he's not playing, but a young lady, you know, got the four tickets. So that's awesome for people who may not normally be able to see this team because we know the ticket prices go up. But wanted to tip my cap to the Titans for that one.
Keith Bullock, very complimentary of Jayon Brown.
Yeah.
When we talked to him this week. And, you know, Jayon Brown has been that. I remember as a rookie sitting here doing when – he was a rookie sitting here doing shows alongside Buck Rising and both of us just like having a man crush on Jayon Brown and just to see him progress.
Yeah.
It's been fun to see.
Yeah. He's a cool dude too. I got to hang out with him a little bit in Philly before he was drafted. So good people there, the Steinberg organization, the agency, they're doing an awesome job with him.
So what do you think in about a minute or so, how does this turn out on Sunday? Like I said, I know what they need to do. I know what they should do. I don't trust them to do it. So what do you think?
28-20, Chiefs.
That's a cover, by the way, for those of you listening at home. 28-20, I like that. I think that's probably around where it is. I picked the Chiefs. However, time and time again, we see a game like this where the Titans, it's like they get it right and they win. And when you're talking playoffs and you're looking at big picture, I mean, this is one they need, but I don't think they're going to get it. So we'll see. Again, 7 a.m. Sunday morning, Calvin and Luke Worsham will have coverage for you beginning then, followed by NFL pregame with Jared Floyd and Chris Sanders. They will be down at the George Jones on 2nd Avenue. That is going to do it for our show, but stick around. There is more Teron talking with TD coming up next. Here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.